All right, take your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, then Hebrews 9, 27. It's going to set us up into our text, which is going to be in Ecclesiastes 8. I want to talk a little bit about our purpose, what God has us here for, actually what God's all about, what God created everything, what purpose did God create everything and make everything that was made. I've been told by theologians that there's a difference between things God created and things that God made. Has anybody heard that distinction? When God created something, he made it from nothing. His power, he made it, the word spoke it into existence when he created. And then when he made things, it's said that you made them from things that were already created. He took those things to make other things. Remember in John 1, we read in Genesis 1 where God created everything, and then in John 1 we see that it was Jesus Christ doing the creating. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So in Hebrews 9:27, the Bible talks about our state in this life. We don't live long lives by some of those Old Testament standards. Some of those folks lived 700 or 800 years. Methuselah lived, 960-something years. Incredible. But here in 1 Peter 1:24, the Bible says, "For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." So our time is short. We bloom somewhere along the way, and then we start going the other way. Just like those flowers in the springtime, right? Now those flowers have wilted down. Even with the cool weather, those hardy mums are starting to lose their strength and their glory that they had in their youth. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." So we go through life, we bloom, and we do things, whether we live for ourselves or live for God, it's all a matter of choices that we make. How committed we are to being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to do God's will. And at the end, after it's all over, if you've trusted Christ, you still don't miss out on judgment. You face Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not judged for your sin, but you're judged there as servants. It's for saved people. Jesus Christ judged your sin when he died on the cross. He took that judgment in our place. But we face Christ, and some of us will be ashamed of ourselves for not doing more for Jesus Christ. The Bible said some will appear before that judgment seat of Christ and said that the shame of their nakedness not appear. Folks who've just got saved and kind of lived in the background, not doing anything for the Lord. Saved because of Jesus Christ, but never doing anything to bring him glory and bring him pleasure and honor. And those who haven't trusted Christ, they face the great white throne, and they give account for every idle word. And there's a penalty that is required for sin. Now, Jesus, as a believer, as part of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ paid your penalty, my penalty, for our sins. And we don't have to pay that penalty. Christ paid that in our place. But to the lost world, they have to pay. And it's sad for someone to leave this world without Jesus Christ. If you go to hell today, it's not God's fault, because he made a way. Made a way in simplicity through the simple faith in Jesus Christ. He don't say you have to be religious. He don't say you have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. He just said, trust Jesus Christ for heaven. All right, now our text here is going to be this morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 says, "Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, help me today, Lord. Fill me with the power of God, Lord, and open hearts and minds today, and let us know that there's a way of escape from the craziness of this life and the sinfulness that's around us, that you'll give us peace. You'll set a table for us in the wilderness, Lord, if we'll just trust you and love you and try to serve you, Lord. Help us to be that Christian. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Help us to be a witness to others that they might find that heavenly home as we, Lord. Thank you for the blood on Calvary's cross, and hold me up, fill me with the power of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll read that verse again. Because to every purpose there's time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Do you know why so many people today are just downright miserable? Because they're not living for God. They're doing it their way instead of God's way. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you've got streets, you've got cities, you've got homes filled with miserable people. And you wonder why. A lot of people, probably most people, are miserable because their purpose for their lives does not line up with God's purpose for their lives. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God has a purpose for everything that he created. Turn to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll find God's purpose for all of his creation, anything and everything that God created. It says in Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things," watch it, "and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Duh. That said he created everything for himself. All things created by him and for him. So according to God's holy word here, God not only created everything, but he created everything for his pleasure. Man, that's hard to swallow. Why would he do that? Because he's God. God created everything to please himself. He's a righteous, pure, and holy God, and he created things to please him. God created the flowers and the trees to please him. They have a purpose. Those flowers bloom. They're not just blooming so your neighbors can see your pretty flower garden. They're blooming to the glory of God. So the God looks down as those blooms reach toward heaven. He created the trees to reach toward heaven and give him glory, supplying oxygen to this earth. Everything, every creature, bringing glory to God. You remember when they crucified our Lord? The Bible says the earth went into convulsions. The sun refused to shine. Everything honoring and trying to bring glory to their Creator. Everything except mankind. God created the oceans and all that in them is. Why did he do that? To please himself. Everything on earth and in the universe is for God's pleasure. Deuteronomy 10:14, "Behold the heaven, and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also, and all that therein is." It all belongs to God. Remember Adam in the garden? I think what happened to Adam after he tended that garden for a little bit, he got to thinking the garden belonged to him. A lot of folks, I've heard preachers say, well, God created the garden for the man. No, he didn't. Garden was for God. He just put Adam there to get all the benefits from it and tend to it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. Psalm 24:1, a psalm of David, the earth is the Lord's. That's it. The fullness thereof, the world, they that dwell therein. Then God created man And man was a crown jewel of God's creation. And God gave man, created a little lower than the angels, he gave man dominion over all of his creation. Dominion, man, what a blessed thing. What a blessed thing. God gave most of you some sense. Some of you, some sense. God gave a few of you some sense this morning. Let me move on. Now, contrary, now I may cross some political boundaries this morning, but contrary to what many espouse today, God never told man to preserve this earth and the environment. Getting kind of quiet in here. Stay with me. Turn to Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and watch it, subdue it. Did you get that word? He said to subdue it. He didn't tell them to preserve it. He said to subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves up on the earth. Now listen, he didn't say to abuse it. He didn't say to waste it or spoil it. He said subdue it to bring me glory and for the service of man. That's God's term. Don't get mad at me. That's God's terminology. Subdue it. Keep in mind that everything that God created, animal, vegetable, mineral, was created for God's pleasure. We don't go beyond what he tells us to do with his resources. I'm a chaplain for the Indiana conservation officers, and their job is to preserve our natural resources. It's an important thing. I hate someone who wastes and abuses our natural resources. God expects us to be good stewards of this earth, but he also says to subdue it. Got to think about that one a while. And that includes you. Everything he created, you're in that creation, includes me. That's God's purpose for our being here, is to bring God glory and pleasure and honor. God has a purpose for the flowers to bloom and bring glory to him. He has a purpose for the green tree to grow toward heaven, giving glory to him, supplying oxygen for the earth. God has a purpose for the fatted calf, for the service of man, and by so doing, fulfilling the pleasure of the Creator God. Well, say, don't it hurt you to eat that beef? No. It's that fatted calf is fulfilling God's purpose for it on this earth. You remember the story of the prodigal son? That prodigal son come home. The dad said, hey, kill the fatted calf. I'm telling you how it is. You kill Bambi. Bambi tastes pretty good, and it fulfilled its purpose before God for the service of man, and therefore glorifying the Creator that created that deer for Don to shoot at 4 or 5 times. I better be quiet here. Not only does God have a purpose for everything that he created, to fulfill his pleasure. That's what he's doing. You recall that. But God also purposed a specific plan for you this morning in fulfilling his purpose. Jeremiah Gabbard preached a great message one evening talking about God's will is the same for everybody. You live righteous, holy, you do this. But he has a specific plan for each individual. Does that make sense? God has gifted you with certain talents and abilities to do things, equipped you to be able to do things that not everyone else can do. He has purposed a specific plan for you this morning in fulfilling his pleasure. Isaiah 14:24, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling the ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. God's purpose, he'll use anybody, anything, and everybody. He used Balaam's mule, donkey, to get him straightened out. And what happens, God, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit is calling for you, and instead of saying, Lord, here am I, send me, you ignore it. And you do that long enough, and God will just bypass you and use someone else, even though you're qualified to do what God called you to do, or he would have never called you. God's specific plan for each individual in fulfilling God's purpose of bringing pleasure to himself, pleasure and glory and honor. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, watch it, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. See, everything we do, it's still all about God. It's all about his glory. It's all about his pleasure. It's not about this election coming up. It's not about who's going to win the World Series. It's not about how sorry the Cincinnati Bengals are this year. It's not about that. It's all about bringing pleasure to God and serving him and fulfilling his purpose. Whether you eat Kentucky Fried Chicken or at the Waffle House, whether you go camping tonight or you go to the Metropolitan Opera, all things and anything is according to his good pleasure, the Bible says, which he has purposed in himself. God has a specific purpose for your life this morning. And that is to bring him glory, to bring him honor, and to be pleasing to him. And God has a plan for your life in order to bring about his purpose. Now the problem in God's purpose and the problem with God's plan for your life is that many of us, maybe most of us have another plan. God's got a plan, but I've got my own plan. God's got a plan for you, but you kind of settle on this little plan that you got going for yourself. I'm trying to be as warm and fuzzy as I can here this morning. God, give me a break. God has a specific plan for us. Many are too busy today fulfilling our own plan to even know what God's plan is for our lives. We don't go to the book. We don't seek his will in prayer or his plan. God gave you as an individual certain gifts and talents and abilities and resources for a job that God enabled you and called you to do. Why aren't you doing it? The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It also says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you hear what I said, Tim? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You better keep that bus in pretty good shape because you're going to be putting together another group. I'll tell you that right now. God hadn't changed his mind. All that joy and spiritual lifting up that you guys have done over the years? You think God's not done with you? I don't know. You might have to trim down to an SUV. I don't know. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Thought I'd throw that in. It also says that how can two walk together except they be agreed? Are you agreed with God? God's got a plan for your life. Do you agree with him? Well, not so much. Hey, God's purpose and God's plan for your life, your gifts, I'm talking about the ones God gave you to begin with. Those things are all before you. Romans 3:8, behold, I have set before thee an open door. You've heard me say this before, folks. It's dealer's choice. God isn't going to make you do anything. He gave you a free will. He wants folks that serve him because they want to serve him, because they're thankful for who he is and what he's done, thankful for that precious blood of Christ, and they're just wanting to find something to do, and then when they start to tune in to that still small voice of the Holy Ghost of God, look at the gifts God gave them, and they get in on the work and bringing pleasure to God. God won't make you serve him. Either you agree with God's plan or you don't. Now back to our text. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Some folks are just living miserable lives because you've never submitted to God's will or plan for your life. That'll stress you out, folks. Knowing God's will and refusing to do it. There's nothing more miserable to a man than choosing to serve himself when he knows that God has called him to something better. Maybe you're here this morning and you've just never gone to God or his word to find out what it is. Seek him. You seek God, he'll reveal himself to you. He'll reveal to you. He'll give you peace about what you should be doing. Okay, let the word of God help you out this morning. Step in God's plan for you to fulfill his purpose. Get in on it. John 6:28. They said to him, what shall we do? This is disciples. Master, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's a good start. Ask, Master, what shall I do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's step one. You've got to be in Christ. You can't go out having a zeal of God, but not having God himself. The Bible says in the last days, many would have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You reach out to Christ for salvation before you do anything else. If you can do a lot of things in the flesh, but it don't bring glory to God until you're in Christ and you give him glory for what you do for him. If you've never from the heart trusted and believed on Jesus Christ, then you've missed the rest of the plan. You can't get in on the rest of the plan. There's no plan B, plan C, D, E, F, or G. But if you're here this morning and you've trusted Jesus Christ, you know you're saved, then the choice of whether or not you're going to fulfill God's specific plan for your life is entirely up to you. God's perfect plan that you and maybe very few others are equipped to do. You neglect it, you refuse it, you say, not me, Lord, not today. He'll just push you out of the way and use someone else. David Spurgeon, the old biker gang leader, evangelist for 28, 29 years now, but he was a president of the Outlaws Motorcycle Gang. Got saved in jail. Oh, really rough looking guy. He's preached here for me. What a testimony. He wrote a book, The Biking and the Brotherhood. I heard him preach one night over at Mount Hope in Harrison. He said, "You, some of you out there are saying, why would God use a man like you? Why would God pick somebody like me to preach the gospel?" He said, "Because you wouldn't go, and you wouldn't go, and you wouldn't go, and you wouldn't go. So God sent me." That may be why I am here today. The Lord said, John 8:29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He said he always did things that pleased God. I wish I could say that. When he went to the cross, he said, "Not mine, but thy will be done." John 6:28, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Ephesians 1:8, "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted, also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed and were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Paul said to Timothy, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began." Is that Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart this morning? Are you searching your own heart on what you've refused to do that God has enabled you and empowered you to do, and you just haven't done it? Kind of your plan kind of got in the way of God's plan. God's purpose for your life, to bring him glory, to bring him honor, and to bring him pleasure. God's plan specifically for you in order to fulfill his purpose. And thirdly, God's power. God's power in you, the Holy Spirit of God that enables you to fulfill both God's purpose and his specific plan for your life. It's not too tough. The Lord told the disciples in Acts 1:8, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Paul told the Corinthians, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know how to get rid of those blues, get rid of that misery in your life. Just submit to God. Say, "God, I've done it my way for a long time, and I know you've got a better way for me to go." You do that. You choose God and his plan, his specific plan. 90% of his will for your life you'll find just by reading the book. But be attentive and sensitive to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And he'll use you, and he'll bless you, and he'll take those blues away, and he'll change that to joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. To the praise of his glory, that's what we do. The altar's open this morning, if everyone would stand up. Isn't it time you did it God's way? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Are you agreed with God, or do you have your own little plan going on? As we sing, everyone take a songbook this morning. What page, Jeff? Maybe there's a burden on your heart. Maybe you've been fighting this thing on doing what God, you know God has put in your heart to do, and you've been fighting it. Won't you come?